Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as people who have been on a journey and continue on in the journey that you have for us. Help us, Lord, to know within our hearts that we will lose our way, we will get caught in the darkness if we do not keep following you. Let the cross be always before us. Let our eyes always be upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's in his name we ask and pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in the book of Joshua and the account of the Hebrew people preparing to enter into the promised land. In many ways, it is also like our journey. As we cross by faith from one place to another, from one way of ministry to another, to something new, something that is before us, something that the Lord has led us to. We have been preparing and working diligently, preparing in the natural for the move that we are about to make. But it is even more important that we are prepared spiritually, so that we will remain in God's will, and so that He can continue to lead us forward. The Hebrew people were facing a huge change, like we are. And they had a choice, like we have. They could follow God, or be led by their own desires, or by their own fears. You see, the promised land for them, and the promised land for us as individuals and as a congregation, isn't a place of paradise. It isn't another building. It is a place of God's calling, a place of God's will, where there will be work to be done for the Lord. The truth is that God has promised a promised land for each and every one of us. Today, we don't call that promised land a nation or a piece of land. Our promised land is the purpose for which God created us. Each and every person here has a created purpose, something that God has created you to do. But it's up to us whether we will enter that promised land or not. We can cross the Jordan, step out of the boat and out of our comfort zone, or we can stay in the wilderness. Each person here has a promised land where the Lord wants you to be involved. And our congregation has a promised land, a work, and a purpose that will be full of God's blessings when we do things His way. And right now, that Jordan River for us is taking the form of moving to a new place of ministry. Going through that change, crossing that Jordan River, requires that we continue to be led by God, which means that we need to put the Lord first in everything that we do. It's all about Him, not us. That was the attitude of that new generation that now stood beside the Jordan River. It was 40 years since the spies had entered the promised land, the old grumblers and complainers, those who could not see anything positive but only the negative, had died in the wilderness. Now there was a new generation waiting to enter into God's will for their lives. They were finally ready to do what God had told them to do. And it is within that story of crossing the Jordan where we find some very important points for us today. A congregation that is standing at the Jordan River of our lives. In Joshua 3, verse 3, Joshua, the new leader of the Hebrew people, said this: "When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them." Joshua was telling them to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant and to move wherever it moved. Now, that may not mean much for us today. Some may say, what's so important about following a bunch of priests and the Ark of the Covenant? It may have been important to them then, but how is that important today? But what they were told to do is very important for us today. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence and the meeting place between God and His people. When the Hebrew people camped The ark was placed in the middle of the camp in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. When the Hebrew people traveled, the ark was always in the center of the people. The presence of the ark was with them wherever they went. It was placed in their midst so that God would be their central focus. They looked to him for answers. When they obeyed, they were victorious. When they did their own thing, they failed. When they only worshiped the Lord, they prospered. When they turned to other things to worship, they were consumed and defeated. And that should be a stark reminder to us that as we move forward, we follow God alone. When the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, guess what? We need to do something. When he tells us to move, we need to move. When he tells us to stop, we need to stop. We need to follow God wherever he leads us. And I'm not just talking about our physical move to the mount. God is leading us there for a reason. There will be new work to be done, new people to reach. And we can only do that when we allow God to go first, by seeking him and obeying his voice. And it's going to require many here, especially those in ministry, worship, and leadership positions, to step out of their comfort zone, out of their box. If we just think that the mount is a new place to do the same old things, we won't be crossing the Jordan River of what God has for us. We are going there for a reason, for a purpose that is known to God. And we need to get on board so that we will not only survive as a congregation, but thrive. But that's up to all of us. If we just want to stay comfortable, do things as they have always been done, if one person or just a few people dictate that we stay the same, then we aren't going forward to new opportunities. Doing new things isn't easy. And if we move forward as a congregation in God's will, guess what? There will be problems. There will be battles. As we approach ministry in a new way, there will be lots of challenges that come from the spiritual realm that will have to be dealt with. And without the Lord's leading, we will fight our own battles. And guess what? We will lose. We will try and figure out how to solve the problems that come our way, and we will never find the answers. When we cross our Jordan River to reach our promised land, in the weeks and in the months ahead, there will be obstacles and hurdles that stand in our way. And we can look at those hurdles and say, forget it. Or we can follow the Lord in faith, knowing that he will make a way where there is no way. Isaiah 45:2 says, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you, and he will never fail you nor forsake you. And Psalm 27:1 promises us, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence, the meeting place between God and his people. Today we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. I think Indiana Jones is still out there looking for it. But today, this day, we have something so much better. We have Jesus. In Jesus we have the only mediator between us and God. And when we turn from our sins and trust in him as our Lord, he will lead us every day of our lives. And when we truly gather to worship him, his presence will be with us. So as the Hebrew people followed the Ark of the Covenant, we need to trust and follow our Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives, in the weeks, months, and years ahead. It's the only way that we will ever enter the promised land, the spiritual place of service that the Lord has for us. As we trust in Jesus, we take that first step. And we follow him in a life of dedication and in obedience to his will. So as we move into what the Lord has for us in the future, let us always keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, because he alone is the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know what the amazing thing is? When our eyes are on Jesus and Jesus alone, we won't notice the challenges in the same way. We won't want to go back to Egypt, to the way things were. But we will want to follow the one who has new and wonderful things in store for us. The second thing that I want to share from Joshua chapter 3 this morning is found in the 5th verse. Here Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." As you hopefully know, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are not a social club where we meet once in a while to do good things. And we aren't here for our own pleasure and for what we want. We aren't here to worship God on Sunday and to do whatever we want to the rest of the week. We're here to bring honor and glory to God and to do his will. That means that we need to set ourselves apart from the world and think differently from the world's way of thinking. It means that we turn away from our sins and trust in Jesus and follow him. So how do we do that? It's all about the foundation that Reverend Kim spoke about last week. We as a congregation need to prioritize our lives around the Bible and around prayer. Caleb focused on the Bible last week. I'm going to look at prayer. You know what? I am really thankful to God for all the problems that we have had here over the last several years. I saw a few eyebrows go up. Do you know why? It's because those problems finally brought this congregation to their knees in prayer. We got to the point where we finally realized that prayer was the only answer. Imagine that. The Lord answered our prayers. He was honored when we humbled ourselves and prayed. But now what? Now that we have what we want, now that miracles happened in the way the building sold and in the way we were led to our new home, are we going to push aside our desire to pray? Do we now feel that there is no need to come together as a congregation before God in humility? I hope not. So if we are serious about following the Lord, we need to pray together all the time. Do you know why? It's because we need to be prayed up even before the battles come, before the problems arise. A man by the name of R.A. Torrey put it this way: the reason why many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles. Fight them on your knees before trouble comes, and you will always have the victory. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that a great weapon of the soldier of Christ is prayer. It is the line of communication that we have with headquarters. For us, moving forward, true prayer should be a way of life, not just a call for help in the time of trouble. Romans 12:12 tells us to pursue steadfast prayer. Ephesians 6:8 tells us to pray always. Colossians 4:2 says to continue in prayer. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 commands us to pray without ceasing. If we, as a congregation, don't dedicate ourselves to continuous and corporate prayer, if we don't pick up our socks in this area of our congregational life, then I'm sorry to tell you, our future won't be very good. Why? Because without prayer, there is no power. And you know what? You know why prayer is so powerful? It's really very simple. God loves it when his children come to him in prayer. The scriptures tells us that the prayer of the upright is his delight. And since prayer is our lifeline to God, not praying is actually an insult Ben Jennings wrote, "Every prayerless day is a statement by a helpless individual, I do not need God today." And I might add, every prayerless week is a statement by a helpless congregation, we do not need God this week. You know, failing to pray really reflects idolatry, because we are trusting in something else. We rely on our money instead of God's provision. We rest on our own flawed thinking rather than God's perfect wisdom. We take charge of our lives rather than trusting God. Prayerlessness short-circuits the working of God. Neglecting prayer is not a weakness. The Bible calls it a sin. It has been said that the person or congregation who is a stranger to prayer will also be a stranger to God's power. The great missionary Hudson Taylor said this, "The power of prayer has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty works of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Let us never face a day until we have faced the Father in prayer. John Bunyan stated, "Prayer is a shield to the soul, a delight to God, and a scourge to Satan." Someone once said that Satan trembles when he sees the feeblest Christian on his or her knees. And how utterly convincing are the words of Martin Luther, "I have so much work to do today that I need to spend the first 3 hours in prayer." But despite God's command and God's promises regarding prayer, many people in many congregations neglect this important foundation. And this attitude can be seen in the story of a man who was once cutting a tree stump with an obviously blunt axe. He was only bruising the bark as sweat poured from his brow. Someone suggested that he stop for a moment to just sharpen his axe, to which he replied, "I'm too busy chopping the tree." We look at this and say that this man is ridiculous. If he would only stop for a moment and sharpen the axe, he would be able to slice through that tree with far greater ease. But you know what? Isn't that like us when we don't take the time to pray? We need to stop at the beginning of each day, and as a congregation, at least once a week, to sharpen the axe through prayer. To seek first the kingdom of God so that we can slice through that day or that week with greater ease. You know what? I think we need to start a prayer committee. If it's something important to us, we should do that to encourage everyone to pray. As we move forward, I hope and pray that you truly decide that this congregation's priority will be prayer. I hope that you choose to let the Lord fight your battles and your problems for you, even before you are aware of them. Next Sunday, we're going to do things a little differently. My message will probably be shorter. Alan says amen for that. so that we can enter into a time of prayer. I'll begin. And then I'd like for some of you to pray, to stand up, and to thank God for what He has done in the past, and to thank Him for Him leading us into the future. For those of you who aren't comfortable praying, sit down with the Lord and write something out. And even if your prayer is only, "Thank you, Jesus," that will be a great start. If we don't move forward standing on the foundation of prayer, then we will be standing on sinking sand. So let us get our strength and our direction from the Lord and from Him alone through prayer. That way we will have a wonderful future in the promised land that the Lord has for us. Prayer is another reason why we need to consecrate ourselves. The Bible in Psalm 6:18 teaches that our sin will keep God from even hearing our prayers. James 1:6-7 says that if we pray with doubts, we will not get an answer. So what do we do? Hebrews 11:6 says, "Pray with faith." Psalm 24:3-4 says, "Pray with clean hands and a pure heart. Matthew 6:7 tells us to pray genuine, heartfelt prayers rather than vain repetitions. And Exodus 20, verses 3 to 6, instructs us to make sure that we are praying to the God that is revealed in the Scriptures, and not some God that we have made in our own image. How do you know that you're praying to the God who is revealed in Scripture? Just study the Word. Don't accept the image of God that is portrayed by the world, even though it appeals to many minds. You know, the kind, gentle, Santa Claus kind of figure, dispensing good things with no sense of justice or truth, who allows you to do whatever you want to do because He loves you. God isn't just all love. He's all justice and all holiness too. And there will be a day of reckoning. Look to the thundering and the lightning on the Mount Sinai. Gaze at Jesus on the cross of Calvary, hanging in unspeakable agony because of the justice of a holy God. Those images tend to banish idolatry. A God who is made in our own image. A God that allows us to do whatever He wants. As a congregation, we need to come together. We need to come together often to pray. Why? As Alvin Green said, I don't know who that is, but what he said was powerful. Prayer can move mountains. It can change human hearts, families, neighborhoods, cities, and nations. It is the ultimate source of power because it is, in reality, the power of Almighty God. Prayer can do what political action cannot, what education cannot, what military might cannot, and what planning committees cannot. All these are impotent by comparison. By prayer, the kingdom of God is built. And by prayer, the kingdom of Satan is destroyed. Where there is no prayer, there are no great works, and there is no building of the kingdom. Where there is much prayer and fervent prayer, there are great gains for the kingdom. God's rule is established. His power is directed. His will is done. Society is transformed, and lost persons are saved. And followers of Jesus are unable to stand against the devil's schemes. If that isn't enough to compel us to devote ourselves to prayer and always to wrestle in prayer, I don't know what is. I'm getting there. I'm trying to honor all the pastors who have passed and preached for an hour. The third and final point of crossing our Jordan River and entering into the place and the work that the Lord has for us is found in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 3. Here it says, give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. The third thing that Joshua told the Hebrew people was to go and stand in the River Jordan. This was the time of the harvest, and the river was flooding its banks. That would have been a little frightening for those people. So it required faith. Just as it will require faith for us to come over any fears. For these people, it was time to forget the past and move forward to the future that God had for them, to claim their inheritance. Instead of taking one more trip around the mountain in the wilderness, they were to cross the Jordan and conquer the land. They were to do new things that the Lord had for them to do. Exciting things lay ahead as they move forward together in unity and focusing on the Lord. But it all started by taking that one first step. With one step of faith, they walked in God's presence into the Jordan River towards the Promised Land. Just like every one of us must take that first step of faith for the Lord to lead us. I am glad that so many have decided to take that step of faith. But that faith can't be left at the door of the mount. We'll need that faith to go on and do new things. Our future is not about our new building, the music, or the preaching. It's about taking a step of faith together, following the Lord. And whatever that will is, I hope that all of you are ready to step out in faith and do it. I don't think any of you want to take another trip around the mountain in the wilderness. Because there is no true blessing. There's lots of work and not much reward. So today, let us move forward in unity. Let us be ready to do new things and exciting things for our Lord. Let us follow the Lord and consecrate ourselves through repentance, through the Word, and through prayer. And let us face the future together with faith. When we do, I know that there will be an exciting future for St. Paul's. Because God's will is always exciting. And I'm not just making that up. Because we are told in our passage that when the people had a change of heart by consecrating themselves and putting God first in their lives, and when they stepped out in faith and in unity, God performed great wonders before them. It can be the same for us as well. As we cross the Jordan River as a congregation, God will do amazing things for us. He will remove the obstacles that come our way. He will prepare the road ahead. All we have to do is to trust and obey and put Him first in everything.